Dr. Amaro, thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg in Focus.
My pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
So let's start with a little background. What inspired you to go into ENT medicine?
I think going backwards, it's what inspired me to be a doctor to begin with. I think that's where my journey starts. So 12-year-old in Kenya, growing up with hardly anything in a village that has no running water, no electricity, and definitely not a clinic in sight. And even at that young age, I noticed just things that didn't have to cause people's deaths or demise. And in my young mind, stupidly, I said, I got to change this. I had no idea how I was going to change that. But, little simple things that people really didn't have to die from bugged the heck out of me. So at that age, I knew I'm going to be a doctor. And I started by fixing chicken legs and all of that. So right then I knew that, yes, a doctor, and a doctor who uses their hands as well as their, hopefully, knowledge and mind.
Yeah.
So surgery had always been in my blood. I was fixing things, sewing things up. So fast forward, come to medical school, they give you a chance to rotate through everything. Honed in on the most concentrated and, in my mind, intriguing part of the human anatomy, and that's all in your head and your neck. You could probably live without an arm or a leg. You can't live without a head and neck. So there's some important things in there. And I concur, it's pretty amazing anatomy, physiology. And anatomy is what things look like. Physiology is how they work. It's intriguing. So it was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say that you were seeing things that people were dying of that they didn't have to die of, what were some of the things that you were experiencing that there you were seeing?
So most of the third world, Africa, specifically Kenya for sure, healthcare is just not accessible. And that's because there are very few hospitals to begin with, but also access. People have no money.
Yeah.
So literally people go to hospital to seek care when they're knocking on heaven's door.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is maybe it starts off as, let's just say, a little cut in your leg and you didn't go to the hospital. You tried some home remedies. Then it becomes sepsis. Then it becomes this and that, and you're dead. Water, just drinking water can kill you, because people get water from the river or from the lake and you got to boil it down to bring it down so you don't get typhoid and amoeba, cholera, just simple things, malaria from mosquitoes, where just having a net, a mosquito net or bug off or, stuff that you pray, a spray could save your life.
Yeah.
And then kids get RSV, bronchitis. Kids shouldn't have to die from that.
No.
So just little things that here in this culture, in the Western world, you go to convenient care, to the emergency room, and your life is safe and saved, is not so in other parts of the world.
Boy, it's almost incomprehensible for us over here to think that people have to go through that this day and age.
It's a night and day. It's a night and day situation, truly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you come to the West?
Here. I came to the Wild West, and it was the Wild West for me. I was only 15.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
So the educational situation in Kenya at the time was such that it's tiered. You do well, you keep going. You do get a B, you may not make it to the next level. Again, there are very few schools. Admission is by performance, and that's it. And so my dad, and that's why I like strong men, my dad said, the only way out to his 8 kids is you got to be an A, not a B. You got to be an A. Hmm. So I listened, thankfully. I did well. I got a scholarship. And that scholarship was being offered to one child per country per year, and I got it.
Oh my gosh.
So off I was put on a plane to Canada by myself, never having been on an airplane, and my parents waving goodbye, we'll see you when we see you.
Oh my gosh. Again, 15 years old.
15.
My gosh.
Yeah. So went to Canada, did an IB, International Baccalaureate Program, very intense educational-based, also community-based program funded by philanthropists who want kids from other parts of the world to not only know each other as strangers, come in strangers not speaking each other's language and leave as friends to hopefully promote world peace, but also with a very strong education backing. So that then catapulted me into the United States, went to college at Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
My first introduction to the American Wild West, so to speak. And then from there to Tulane Medical School, and I did medical school and graduate school there, combined degree.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how did you find your way to Canton, to Graham Health System?
I keep asking myself that every time.
Yes.
So, you know, because of my background, I've always had a heart for rural medicine.
Okay.
You know, those places and spaces that seem forgotten by the rest of the world, but are yet so vital.
Yeah.
And so somehow my heart has always sought those. And I think the universe has heard my heart in that they seek me back. Mm-hmm. So other than my initial jobs, which were in big markets, my subsequent jobs have always been someone just reaching out, cold calling, hey, we're calling from Lima, Ohio. We're looking for an ENT. Would you be interested?
Okay.
And so Canton was one of those situations. So it's amazing how the universe works that way.
Yeah. Here you are.
Here I am.
Practiced around the world. I mean, and now you're helping folks right here in our area. It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And you still have ties to Kenya,
yeah,
with your charitable organization.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you talked about that in your interview that we did, and I encourage people to visit that again at WGIL.com. But could you talk briefly about that?
Yeah. You know, as I said, I left my country when I was 15, so I've spent most of my life out of Kenya in mm-hmm. terms of living there. But one of the things that I find interesting here in Knoxville County or in the Midwest is that most people stay home.
Oh.
So that word home,
yeah,
has such a deep meaning. Mm. And so I resonate and understand that home for me will always be Kenya. Mm. I live and work elsewhere globally, but that home that keeps your ties rooted, yeah, is always so. So my home is Kenya, always will be.
Yeah.
And I've always known that the fact that I was given a chance to catapult out of it didn't mean I leave it. It means I look back and help it.
Mm.
So I know you mentioned that I am helping people here. For me, I'm in service.
Yeah.
You know, I'm serving people, and my area of service, geographical area, includes Kenya. So I'm very, very closely tied to Kenya still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there a few times a year, actually.
Okay.
Multiple times a year, we run clinics. I have a foundation for girls there. The TSA guys on both sides know me, and they say, hey, you're back again. I consider that literally the world is my area of service. And people are amazed that I can hop on a flight and go to Kenya and come back in a week. I'm like, yeah, what's the problem with that?
Well, that's right. Most of us can't imagine that. To be that global.
Yeah.
We're so tied to our, you mentioned home.
Yeah.
Many of us are. We're pretty sheltered here.
Yeah.
And
the world
that's pretty
is very
amazing.
Small. In my opinion, it's very small. It's just a flight away. It's just that some of those flights are a little longer than others, but the world is very small.
I love it. Dr. Sophia Omoro, she is an ENT specialist with Graham Health System. She sees patients at the Graham Medical Group Center for Ambulatory Care on North Seminary Street here in Galesburg. There is some amazing progress going on out there on North Seminary Street. We were talking off the mic. That new building has come up so quickly.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's incredible. Our leadership team, I love that they are so visionary.
Yeah.
And initially when I was to come to Canton, I was going to be mainly in Canton. And then I learned and toured that, you know, the building, this beautiful facility.
Yeah.
And I put a bug in someone's ear and they listened. I said, how about I also come here? So I'm privy to a most beautiful, brand new space where I practice and see my patients.
Yeah.
This is important because yesterday a patient of mine, I walked into the room and he was gazing afar into the sky. And I said, are you okay? And he said, this is the first time that a doctor's office feels meditational. The beautiful window through which he was looking at the perfect sky. It's clean. It's new. The staff is happy to be there. Yeah. It's accessible right off the road. It's a beautiful place to come to work every day.
Yeah.
And that's just brand new. Now we're putting up the surgery center. So as of next year, I will be able to do all my outpatient surgeries there as well. That is absolutely exciting. And so, yes, our leadership team is They're not joking.
They have done some amazing things here in this area, too. Yeah. We should all be very, very proud. And so let's talk about what does an ENT specialist do and why would people come to see you?
Yes. You know, before we started, you very well pronounced that word.
Yes, I'd like to say it first. Pediatric otorhinolaryngology.
Perfect.
You specialize in pediatric otorhinolaryngology.
He got it perfectly. So
what is that?
What is that?
It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. And that's why most people just say ENT.
Okay.
Now for us ENTs, otorhinolaryngologic head and neck surgeons, that's the full name.
Oh boy.
I know. We always say, when you say ENT, people forget that we're actually surgeons by training.
Yeah, because we're thinking ear, nose, and throat.
Yes.
Right, yes.
Yes.
It's so much more.
It's so much more. Yeah. We're surgeons by training. We're surgeons who treat many things with surgery, mm-hmm. but other things without surgery. Mm-hmm. But we're primarily surgeons.
Okay.
So with that, we're very varied in what we do. So breaking it down to just ears, there's some of us who train to only do ears. And that's otologist, neuro-otologist. Okay. And I mentioned that just to show you the complexity of things that could happen therein. So simple things like hearing loss for adults, ringing in the ears. Mm-hmm. And hearing loss has its own world. Is it the nerve? Is it the hearing bones? Is it other things that are blocking sound? Mm-hmm. And then the age group that needs us is also very varied. Little kids who are born with either hearing issues, kids who get tubes because they have chronic ear infections, adults who've had to be around noise that now have ringing and cannot hear.
Yeah. And then tinnitus, is that?
Tinnitus, okay. Yes. And then that darn thing that we can't avoid, aging.
Oh, yes.
Because we all age and lose our hearing.
Yes.
So that's just the ear part. Mm-hmm. The nose part, people think is just smell. No, the nose system, it's actually called rhinology, has the sinus cavities. So a lot of people confuse allergies with sinuses, and yes. that's okay. That's the street language. For us, they're two separate and different things. So allergies are what you experience when you react to things that either come to you through your nose or otherwise. Sinuses are cavities in your head, aerated cavities. And people say, why do we have them? We don't know. Maybe to make your head lighter or to resonate sound. But they do make mucus that drain out in the nose. So the nose and the sinuses are separate things, also different from allergies.
Okay.
So that's its own world entirely again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The throat. I know we say the throat, we open our mouths, we think it's just open and closed. No, that's just the entryway into your voice box, your larynx. Mm. And that too is a different world entirely. And then covering all of that is obviously the skin, but outside of it is your thyroid gland, your salivary glands, your parotid glands, and things that sometimes pop up and grow in spaces where they should not be. Yeah. So it's a very, very condensed and intense specialty that we do and spans all age groups from birth to the end.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dr. Amaro is from Graham Health System, an ENT specialist. And how are ENT issues in children different from what you see in adults?
Luckily, most children do not come with bad things. When I say bad things, I'm referring to cancerous things.
Gotcha.
Right? So the balance is that some bad things happen later in life because they're acquired either through your genetics or your environment. Most kids, luckily, are born without those. So those are typically the fun parts of our specialty where, you know, you just need to put a tube in a kid so that they stop getting ear infections and they can hear, or their tonsils are too large and causing them infections and breathing problems, or their adenoid tissue is too large. Now, yes, there are bad things that kids may be born with and acquire, but those are few and far between. So that's the main difference.
Okay.
In adulthood, it's things that you pick up along the way. And unfortunately for most of us human beings, the things we pick up along the way are not great things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's almost like a pendulum of joy and worry.
Sure, sure. Yeah. By the time we go to see you, we're recommended to see a specialist.
Correct.
We are talking about things that are a little more.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I get older, I remember a comedian that said, I feel a lump here. And then I felt the lump on the other side and went, oh, thank goodness. It's the same thing on both sides. That's good. But
yes.
talk about hearing loss and balance problems, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. Those are things that can creep up slowly, right?
Correct.
That now, adults are dealing with.
Yes. So hearing loss will creep up with you if you get to live long enough.
Yeah.
You can't help it. It's that. It's just that our genetics determines when you start and how quickly you go. Otherwise, you can't help it. And that is the one thing that bugs the heck out of most of my people when someone's like, now you say I'm old, I have hearing aids. I said, you were old the moment you were born.
That's right.
You know, time starts, the countdown starts. So yes, you know, it's caught up with you. Now, you can also get hearing loss just from, you know, noise exposure. And a lot of people sometimes say, well, I only shot that gun once. It only take one time. You know, so noise is not your friend as far as your hearing nerve is concerned. Mm-hmm. Now, the best friend of that hearing nerve is the balance nerve. They live and walk through the same pathway from your inner ear organ to your brain. So sometimes what hurts the other, one hurts the other.
Yeah.
But the balance nerve, as far as the ear or ear, nose, and throat is concerned, is very specific. You know, I get some people who come to see me because their necks are bad and they've needed neck surgery or the hips or they've got knee replacements and now they've got to use a cane and they don't love it. And Dr. Omoro, fix it.
Yes.
Well, in that case, it's not the inner ear. So the inner ear organ causes a very specific type of balance issue, usually accompanied by vertigo, which vertigo is not the same as dizziness. Vertigo usually has some spinning component with it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas dizziness, people use that word when you feel foggy, you feel faint, you feel weak, your little knee's not holding it up, your blood pressure is too low, too high, and even your vision sometimes will cause you to be dizzy as opposed to vertiginous, vertigo.
I hear a lot about vertigo these days and that how sometimes some simple physical therapy can help.
Yeah.
Realign the crystals.
The crystals.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? That is the one thing in medicine as a whole, but in ENT specifically, that sounds like you guys have been drinking too much. That's crazy.
It sounds like some kind of wizard magic.
It sounds wizardry, but
gotta realign the crystals.
It is beautifully magical. Yeah. So in that inner ear organ I'm talking about, there's a fluid-filled cavity that has calcium carbonate crystals.
Okay.
Now, these crystals have a job. Their job in life is to let the brain know what your body has done in relation to space. So you turn right or left, those crystals kind of float out of their home base, gather information, come back to home base, send off the message that he turned left or right. Isn't that amazing?
It's the magic of creation is incredible.
See why I love anatomy?
Yes. Oh,
it is astoundingly beautiful and intricate. So sometimes those crystals, when they go off to gather information, come back, they miss home base. And when they do, they mess up the information to the brain.
Yeah.
Then you get vertigo. So in that one case, medications don't help. Sometimes people go off on a given medications, it doesn't help. The fix is to get those little guys back to home base through a very specific head maneuver done by physical therapists or audiologists or ENT doctors.
Yeah.
I know.
I've had it. I've had family members that they went a couple sessions and it completely fixed it.
It fixes it.
In some very, it seemed like awful vertigo where they could barely, you know, certainly couldn't drive a car and could barely walk.
Yeah.
And a couple sessions of these very specific head movements and it.
It fixes it.
Yeah, it fixes it. That's amazing.
Beautiful creational wizard.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Dr. Omoro is an ENT specialist with Graham Health System and sees patients at the Graham Medical Group Center for Ambulatory Care on North Seminary Street here in Galesburg. At this time of year, Dr. Omoro, we hear a lot about sinus infections and nasal congestion. What advice do you have for listeners who are dealing with these issues all year long?
Mm-hmm. I always say, in any case, prevention's better than cure. Always, always, always. And what I mean by that is that to the extent that you can, be healthy. Be healthy, be healthy, be healthy. And that starts with what you put in your body. You know, I'm not going to go into it, but people who know me, including my nurses, make fun of me for eating bird seed all the time. But, you know, your flax seeds, your chia seeds, things that keep you healthy.
You literally do mean bird seed. Okay, yes.
I guess it is.
Well, not bird seed, but I know what you're saying, though. Yes, right.
So watch what you eat. Everything in moderation. There are things that you should moderate more than others or avoid completely. Hydration, and this is a big one, rest. Your immune system needs rest in order to regenerate, and your immune system is there with you for one and only one thing, the army of your body.
It
helps guard so that those little tiny things that your body could just say, sorry, not today, it can do so.
Yeah.
So those tend to be your viral infections, your allergens, you know, things that you can prevent, starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, outside of that, there are things that you cannot help. Allergies in this area, I've learned, crop up when the crops are being harvested and the dust is, I don't know what.
Yes, yeah. It's terrible. It's yes. If you've ever been out in a field where they've got a combine out there harvesting soybeans, certainly, and it's so dry.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you can hardly breathe.
You can hardly breathe. So if you know that that's one of your allergens, I would say either wear a mask if you can or start your allergy medications preemptively.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had mentioned before that the sinus cavities are kind of aerated pockets in the skull bone. They do empty out in the nose. Mm-hmm. And this is where it's carpentry for me. If you plug the pipe, everything else back, you know, yes. So if your nose is healthy with those allergies, medications, including just rinsing your nose out when you're breathing these things out, your sinus cavities will be healthy.
Healthier.
All right.
Okay.
Now, sinusitis, which is what most people think they have, is actually very rare.
Mm.
And it means one, two, all of those cavities are full of pus, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
So the symptoms of that infection are very different from what a lot of people assume is a sinus infection when your nose is stuffy.
Mm.
But yes, if the nose is stuffy, the sinuses can back up and you can get sinusitis. So your fever, your chills, your pus out of your nose, that can be sinusitis. But nasal congestion, where it feels stuffy and your head feels full, that can be just good old allergies. Mm-hmm. Or it might just be a viral cold. Viruses are rampant for this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your RSV, your flu, and you should get your flu shot if you haven't. And of course, COVID is still alive and well with us. And there are other tiny little viruses. So most of those annoyances are viral, believe it or not.
Okay.
And antibiotics are not needed, just supportive care, meaning stay healthy, but when you kind of are succumbing to it, we give you supportive care.
Yeah.
Antibiotics only treat bacterium, never viruses. But many of us go to the doctor and we're not feeling good. My nose is stuffy. My head is stuffy. I have a headache and you took time off and please give me something. And so most of us just say, okay, take an antibiotic even when we don't need to. So just keep in mind that most things are not sinusitis, not infection.
Mm.
One of my mentors used to tell me, called me Sophia, Sophia, common things are common. And that is true.
Common things are common.
Common things are common.
Okay.
Then he used to say something else. I trained in New Orleans that if you hear hoof beats outside, don't look for a zebra in New Orleans. Look for a horse.
I love it.
So common things are common. And the most of those are just viral illnesses or allergies.
Yeah.
And yes, sinusitis can come on the back end, but it's a rarity.
I've have some a couple people that I know in my world that had to have a sinus surgery because they had polyps.
Yes.
Is that... And it was an interesting surgery. One of the gentlemen that I know had it many years ago, and he said the doctor actually snapped a picture of it with his
face peeled open.
Face peeled open. I didn't see it because I didn't want to see the picture, but it was a friend of his, so he took the picture to show him, say, please don't show anybody else. But
you're imagining it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how people don't know. So number one, sinuses, we can usually go in through your nose and take turns where needed. But there are times when that's not good enough because most instruments don't take sharp turns.
Sure.
And so we got to get in there somehow. And one way is to, I tell people, it's kind of like your hand with a glove. This glove, you can peel that off easily.
Yeah.
And we know what seams to put back together so you never know we were in there.
Yes.
But yes, we can approach the sinuses by peeling your face off.
Yes, right.
Laying it back down. When we do salivary gland surgery, we actually peel your skin off and lay it back down. Thyroid surgeries, we're peeling you open.
That's amazing. Amazing. I've even heard they go through your teeth.
Yeah.
Go through a molar or a tooth, or you have to pull the tooth out. And I've heard that too.
A lot of oromaxillofacial surgeons like to approach it that way because most of them do jut into the floor of that maxillary cheekbone sinus.
But these surgeries we're talking about can change people's lives who have been dealing with these really bad sinus issues.
Yeah. So the worst case scenario with sinusitis, so now we're talking frank sinus issues.
Sure.
We may have anatomical blockages. Maybe you were born with some narrow exit pathways that just makes those things that I'm talking about gather instead of come out.
Yeah.
Allergies that we talk about in the big spectrum of it can go all the way to the polyp end of things. Mm. And polyps is when the lining of those tissues just are so reactive that they form little bursts of polyps. Those are never going to come out.
Yeah.
And so those have to be removed surgically.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Dr. Sophia Omoro is an ENT specialist with Graham Medical Group at the Center for Ambulatory Care on North Seminary Street here in Galesburg, the beautiful new facility that Graham is continuing to add to, and the new surgery center will be open next fall. Mm-hmm. And there's so many exciting things going on. And you are accepting patients.
I'm accepting right now, patients. Yes. The best time to come in is now, because I'm brand new. I've been now with Graham since April.
Yeah.
And even as a new physician, my pace is already greater than most new physicians in any place.
Yeah.
Because there's such a need here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this many times with folks from Graham, about how your goal was to fill that yeah. need here in this yeah. area that mm-hmm. that is definitely there.
Yeah.
And so we are, and we were talking off the mic about how you have patients that are telling you that,
yes.
that you're so glad
yes.
that Graham is here.
Yes. I have patients driving and saying, thank you, yes, PR is nice, but it's closer to home.
Yeah.
And you can just imagine, especially if you're needing a surgical intervention or procedure, to have to gather family.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big deal. Most patients don't travel alone. You know, you travel with
right.
someone. So being close by and accessible is part of healthcare.
Yeah. I have a couple things that I would like to talk about. Two things that are kind of near and dear to me. I say near and dear.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some people can relate to this. Snoring.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh. Now, for me personally, my snoring started to taper down when I lost weight.
Bingo.
But when I was at my biggest, oh my gosh, snoring yeah. was like a freight train.
Yeah.
And my wife, you know, even to a point where she said, I'm going to sleep in the guest bedroom
yeah.
for now.
Yeah.
We're not getting divorced, but yeah. you know, mm-hmm. you better do something about this snoring.
Mm-hmm.
But it affects so many people. And there's the inconvenient part of it.
Yeah.
But there's also the life-threatening part of it too.
Precisely. So snoring is never normal. You know, let me start with the kids where the parent is like, you know, she or he's snoring normally. I said, no one should be snoring. Because if you think about the mechanical or physics part of snoring, it's air hitting a physical object and rattling. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
Meaning there's extra tissue that's blocking the air pathway that's causing obstruction. Mm. So snoring is a symptom of obstruction of air that's on its way somewhere with a specific job.
Yeah.
All right. So in kids, thank God it's easy. It's usually big tonsils.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
Now with adults, sometimes it's other things. Most commonly though, what you mentioned, along the way, the things we pick up, the bad things we picked up, we
yeah.
talked about is a little weight.
Yeah.
Now, I tell people when we peel faces like we do or cut necks, if you have extra weight in the form of fat, we encounter it. And so a lot of new students who are with me in the OR are like, wow, it's actual fat. I'm like, yes, it is.
That obstruction that's causing the snoring mm-hmm. is fat.
And
extra
that
weight.
Fat, when you get it anywhere in your body, has to make friends with the neighbor to say, move over, I'm here now. And so it's that extra fat that make things have to move over. So they all coexist that causes issues.
Okay.
So floppy things become floppy in the throat. When you sleep, your tongue falls back. Your neck tissues, because of the extra fat, falls in. So you snore.
Yeah.
So that's how fat and age causes that snoring, which in its dangerous form is sleep apnea.
Yes.
Now, the apnea part means not only are you snoring, but you have these pauses in your breathing. Now, when you're pausing, if you think about it, no air is going in. The reason we have air is simply to carry oxygen so it can go and feed everything in your body.
Yeah.
So these pauses causes drops in oxygen levels. Now, our beautifully created brain intelligibly says, not on my watch. We got to do something. So those are those frequent arousals that you have during your sleep apnea. Your
sure.
brain saying, get up, wake up, take a breath, because the oxygen level is too low.
Yeah.
The other thing that has to compensate for that low oxygen level is your heart, because your heart's one and only job is to get that oxygen, deliver it, and get an oxygenated blood back to the lungs to gather oxygen. So your heart also, in sensing that the oxygen level is low, does the only thing it knows to do, beat faster.
Yeah.
Since you don't have a lot of load, deliver whatever you have faster.
See.
So your heart, which is the only organ that works from birth to death, is now overworked. And that's typically what causes demise in sleep apnea. Your heart just one day gives up.
Oh, my gosh.
So sleep apnea is not great. Starts with snoring.
Starts with snoring, yes.
But so, for most of us adults, as you said, get to your ideal weight.
Yes. My losing weight, I noticed a difference within the first month when I was losing weight, that I wasn't snoring as much. And the way I knew that, I asked my wife, am I still snoring? She said, you know what? I don't notice you snoring
That's
as much.
A great
Every
answer.
Now and then. The crazy thing is that, you know, if I eat a big meal, maybe, and I, but too soon before I go to bed, I will snore.
Yep.
But I will say that losing this weight has definitely, I mean, that's not obviously for everybody. It's not going to be the fix, but snoring is not from your nose. It's from your throat.
It's from your throat.
Yes.
It's from your throat because either your nose. Now, having said that, there are people with true anatomical issues that surgery could fix.
Right.
You know, when this sleep medicine was brand new, they thought, ooh, otolaryngology surgeons, you guys are going to cure it with surgeries. Yeah. So, yes, there are people walking around whose tongue bases were reduced, jaws were pushed forward surgically, noses were restrained, tonsils were removed, and those tonsillar pillars, that tissue in the back, tightened up like a little facelift. And guess what? Still snoring.
Still snored. Okay.
So then very quickly we learned that, you know, surgery alone is never, ever the answer. So it's that CPAP. Now, that said, there might be someone with a septum, the divider of the nose, that's crooked. There might be someone with a real anatomical issue, then yes, we fix that. Most people also can have that CPAP where the pressure is so high because the tissues in your nose are not perfect. Yes, we can fix that so that the pressure on the machine can be reduced.
Yeah.
But in most cases, surgery alone is never the answer.
I tried a couple of those devices that mouth guards where it pushes my lower jaw forward. Mm-hmm. Do you recommend, though? I mean, those seem to be a temporary fix, but they didn't work. Weight I gained,
there you go.
They didn't help.
You know, the problem, we can avoid the issue if it's weight. It will be right there looking at us when we try all these other things. It'll be like, welcome back. I'm still here.
That's right.
But
you still haven't addressed the real issue. Yeah.
Yes. But those devices do help in some occasions because most people hate those CPAP machines. And we understand that, you know, sleeping with a mask in your face or your nose with air jutting out takes a little bit of getting used to. Most people hate it. And so there are all those tiny little things off the side that, hey, try your breathe right strips, try your oral device.
Yes.
You know, try these pillows, these fancy pillows. All of those are just kind of scenic routes to what needs to be done.
That is 100% accurate for my case.
Yeah.
And I tried those things. They worked for a little while, but they didn't last.
Yeah.
And not until I addressed the real issue, which obviously I knew what it was, and many of us don't like to admit that.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
And I'd like to add that we're talking specifically about the sleep apnea that we call obstructive sleep apnea. There's a different kind of sleep apnea that's called central. It's very rare, meaning that the trigger in your brain that tells you to breathe, there's something off.
Okay.
So those tend to be other brain issues. They're very, very rare. And if you were to get a sleep study, they would differentiate that. Is it obstructive or is it central? If it's central, then the fix is for the main issue within the brain that's causing it. If it's obstructive, then we look at the anatomy. Is there something we could really help with surgery? But typically, it's the things we pick up along the way.
Yes, yes. So if you are, so I guess our moral of the story here, if you are snoring, you need to talk to somebody. Talk to your general physician and then certainly talk to an ENT specialist like yourself.
Yes, because it's going to affect your lifestyle and your significant others, but it's also affecting your heart.